That's great, right? We are going to deal with that.
I got it. I got it here. And I want to develop it in a logical way so that people can see. You know, I know Steve wants to jump in now, right? If I do that now, this is one of the bad things about PowerPoint. I got it laid out. I'm stuck. But it's a very good point. It's actually, we're actually going to deal with it. Quite frankly, I'm going to deal with it.
I was just going to say, it may be a good point at this time to just say, are there other scriptures that we want to bring in? There are a couple of suggestions I would make. One, there are, I would say, true believers who do see these things differently and who feel that they have scripture that support their views. There are Christians who are trying to accommodate science, and that I think we can clearly say, why bother trying to do that? There are Christians, though, that are not trying to accommodate science and who do see certain viewpoints. We want to be able to understand, you know, what we think the scriptures say. And Sam and I have similar viewpoints on a lot of these things. Among us sitting in the room, there may be divergences of views. There are some things that are essential to believe. And there are other things that Christians have been discussing for many years. I think it's important that when we discuss, we understand what we believe, which is what we want to accomplish. And we want to hear scriptures that you might suggest that would help us understand what the scriptures seem to be teaching, specific passages. It's also important, though, and this is part of what Sam is trying to present to us, it's important to understand what other people believe and try to understand why. And to not belittle someone else's view necessarily. I mean, you know, here we might say that's just, you know, that's, you know, insane to say one way or another way. When we're speaking with somebody who does see things a little differently, especially another believer, we want to speak, you know, we want to be apt to teach, easy to be entreated, all the scriptures that talk about our demeanor. They're important in this discussion, too. But I wonder if at this point there are some specific scriptures that might help us in what we discussed so far. And when we come to this specific days, Sam is going to bring us to that point. But are there other scriptures that we would like to suggest at this point?
I don't have another scripture. I just had a question as to what we think the word waste means. Because I've heard in other contexts, other studies, that some brothers believe that it was chaos and chaotic. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. But personally, when I see verse 2, and I see that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, I wouldn't see that as a chaotic scene. But I just wanted to get our thoughts on what the word waste means.
Well, waste, chapter, verse 2, you mean, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the Darby translation. I think it's been...
I'm no Hebrew scholar either, but I have heard from other creationists that you could simply translate it as unformed and unfilled, meaning creation hasn't been fully, you know, hasn't fully panned out over the 6 days, but might not necessarily be waste or chaotic. I don't. The term waste to me sounds like something.
In the French version of Darby, it's it says desolation. So it's like I know it's void. In English, it's something which is desolate, like a wilderness. So there was stuff, but no life. I think it might be the point of view of the Spirit there. There was stuff, and I've liked the verse that was. Read in Isaiah chapter
45,
verse 18. There's two verbs. He created it not to be void. He formed it to. So there's the two actions. He created the stuff, and then after he formed it for a purpose, life. So that it does not stay void and empty. Yeah. I don't know if this helps a bit.
Anybody else has a better answer? Or good? I mean, a better answer. That's a good answer, but I mean, I could.
I wasn't going to even attempt to answer that, except that I think that's Hebrew poetry. But I was going to call a different scripture into play, as you said.
But before we do that, I want to make sure we addressed his comment or question. Steve, had an answer?
My translation says formless and empty.
Formless and empty.
Does that help you? Does that help you?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying that I think the word... Yeah, probably a bad word to use. Would we agree on that?
It has been one of the places you'll see it is on the scroll. The famous among us, famous the Booth chart, the eternity to eternity chart, has the word. There's a creation,
And then there's a dark circle which says chaos. And then there's another circle as if that's the next step. And that is one of the places you would see that. I think it's clear that we know, we will all agree, that Satan fell, that Satan was a created being. He was not created as Satan. And he fell sometime before Genesis chapter 3. It's evident that that took place. And it's not completely obvious just when that happened. He fell sometime between the beginning of creation and the confronting Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. Whether that took place between 1:1 and 1:2, or at some other point, that's what we're discussing. And there may be reasons to think that such a fall took place between those two verses. And there may be reasons to say that it is not insisted that we must think that. And that's, I think, what the discussion is. I'm not sure, Alex, if you had something else on our... Oh, but Brad had to stand up. Let's go to Brad first.
I was reading the commentary. It said that between 1:1 and 1:2, Lucifer was installed as the, for lack of a better word, ruler of this world. And there was a civilization here. And during this time, he said to himself, basically, the world is not enough. So he took all the people here and made an invasion of heaven. And he was defeated by God and completely wiped out him and all the civilization that was here, plus one-third of the angels at that time had turned from God to follow Lucifer, and they were defeated too. And the civilization that was here was so corrupt, so terrible, worse than anything that was going on during Noah's day, that this chaotic scene in verse 2 was a result of a major flood. Just wipe out everything that was just much worse than what was going on during the time of Noah. And it wiped out everything. And now that I also read this commentary that the original earth had a lot more land mass, at least exposed land, than the earth that we have today. And the resulting flood just covered it all up. And then when he steps in verse 2... No, is it verse 2 or verse 3? When he separates the land from the waters, and he establishes where the waters are, that's the end of that scene.
That's one view that would help the viewpoint that there was a long period of time which would help us to account for the variety. People would say, well, look, see, this shows how much there is in the fossil record and all these things that might have taken place from a previous creation, and it would help to account for a very extended period of time, perhaps, that science is also suggesting that the Earth may have been in existence. What are some thoughts about that? Could we speak about that interpretation? I think that's the commentator that Brad is summarizing would probably propose that type of gap theory, right?
I thought we had dismissed that.
Well, there's many different.
Can we give some scriptures why we if we don't think that it would hold with the scriptures? Are there some reasons why we don't think so? Perhaps.
There's no scripture between
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Well, and there's more. I think there might be other reasons to support it too, but.